Thank you so much for tuning in on this glorious November day. It's Thanksgiving on this half of the world, this watery half of the world. So already some of you are in tomorrow, but I'm glad that you're all here with me right now. This is Jonathan Jay, getting ready for Out of the Box to come up in a moment. It's a weekly call-in show where we talk about what you want to talk about, but this week, it's just me in the studio flying solo. So we're going to do something a little bit different. Try and keep you on your toes. This is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, KKCR, K224CQ Moloa'a, K284AL Hale'iwa. And you can listen to us on 90.9, 91.9, 92.7, 104.7, and 95.1 on the cable. Of course, we are streaming globally, worldwide, from the center of the Pacific Ocean to wherever you are right now. This is Jonathan Jay. I'm happy to be here today. I'm very thankful for everything that has transpired up till this moment now. And I'm very thankful for this instant with you and what is about to roll.
I tremble.
Opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Hallahale Wellness Center, Natural Pain Relief Services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
Grow Our Own Teachers presents Emi Hanaialii Gilliam in concert, Sunday, December 7th, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6 p.m. and show starts at 7. This is a fundraiser for Grow Our Own Teachers Kauai, providing financial assistance to local public school teacher candidates. That's Amy Hanaialii Gilliam in concert Sunday, December 7th at the KCC Performing Arts Center. General and reserve seating tickets available at outlets island-wide. More information and tickets online at growkauaiteachers.org.
Announcing Kilauea Art Night, Saturday, November 29th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Stone Building in Kilauea, featuring over 40 local artisans with jewelry, original art, pottery, apparel, photography, henna tattoos, and gifts for the holidays. Live music, belly dancers, and keiki fire spinners, plus local food trucks, sweet and savory pies, and ice cream. That's Saturday, November 29th. From 4 to 8 p.m. at the Stone Building in Kilauea.
They're gonna eat me alive. If I stumble.
So, folks, this is live radio. And whatever happens is what happens. And whatever happens outside of the mic, you never hear. The number here to call in the station is 826-7771. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. Always trying to mix things up, try something new, take a risk. And what better way to take a risk than to do live radio? Live radio, live radio, live radio. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. How are you, caller?
I'm good. You know, I have a couple of points to make, and then I'll let you tell me what you think. First of all, you know, they had a thing on last week's show. Carlos was filling in for Felicia. And I wanted to ask Felicia, she wasn't there, she's on the mainland for Thanksgiving, I wanted to ask her if she ever publicly endorsed Dustin Barca for mayor. Because I never heard her, she may have done it, I listened to all those debates, the city council debates, and I didn't hear her once say, yeah, I endorsed Dustin Barca for mayor. And I'm curious why she didn't do that unless she endorsed Mayor Carvalho. I'm also curious about Dustin Barca, if he's given any statements. Maybe you have heard something about what he's going to do now. I mean, is he still going to be active to try to do things? I mean, I'm sure he will, you know, or whether he's just totally, like, sick of the whole thing and wants to just drop out of it, you know, the public eye. I don't know. But, you know, on that last week's show, they were talking about Ferguson, about the cop killing him, that black guy, right?
Yeah, a lot of people talking about Ferguson. I hear a lot of talk
about
Ferguson.
Deal. it's a big deal because it's not just Ferguson. It represents, you know, a lot of, you know, about the problem with, you know, black people getting killed by policemen.
Well, you know, with people. Ferguson, everybody's talking so much about Ferguson like it's a big problem. And I think it is, but I think maybe the bigger problem with Ferguson is it's not just Ferguson.
Exactly. That's what I thought, too, because I go, okay, well, you know, okay, this is an isolated case, so we'll kind of just put that on the sideline. And if you want to just discuss the issue, let's look at the broad picture. Because even in the week, this last week, you know, a couple of things that popped out on the news on Democracy Now is a couple, besides innocent black person who's been in jail for 35 years gets exonerated because the police coerced a false testimony out of a 13-year-old kid.
And that guy was in jail for 39 years.
39 years,
39
right?
years for then a crime he yeah. didn't commit.
Then there's another guy who the Angola 3, you know, they accuse him of killing a guard. This is a notorious prison down in Louisiana, I think. You know, where they've kept three guys. One's already dead, but they kept him in the solitary confinement for 40 years, right? You know, and you just go, 40 years, right? You know, and then they've had judges. One guy died. One guy has finally got out a few months ago, and I forget. He was on his deathbed, and they let him out so he could die out of prison. But there's this one lone guy who's been in solitary for the longest time of any person in the United States, over 40 years, and many court judges have already said, hey, look, the case didn't hold up in court. Let him go. And because the legal system is so drawn out that people can appeal, he's been kept behind bars. You know, he can, even though the latest ruling was let him out today. But they're not. They can appeal it. They can make him still stay in. And you just go. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, even though about why there is racism in this world, you know, and it seems like it's all. I mean, excuse me for studying. Of course, blacks kill blacks. Hispanics kill Hispanics. In World War II, white people killed Germans, the Aryans, you know, the Aryan race, you know. But, you know, it's like you go, I mean, what do you think is the source of racism? I mean, why does it exist? What do you think, Jonathan?
Well, it's kind of a big question.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas how it may have begun? I mean, what's this superiority complex that people akin to the color of your skin, except that maybe you were in the ancient days you were a tribe that lived in Africa, you know, versus the Europeans who are more fair skinned, you know. So let's kill each other for something, because that's as good a reason as any other. You know what I mean?
Well, first off, I would say that's a terrible reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I would categorically reject the last thing that you said. I think that's that's a pathetic rationale. Racism. What's the cause of racism? Well, before I start off, I should just say I'm just one person. These are just my thoughts. I'm no authoritative source. But you spoke about an inferiority or superiority complex. And maybe that's the cause of it. I would think that it's exactly the opposite of that. I would think it stems from an inferiority complex. I think that many of us feel small or shameful or angry about aspects of ourselves that we can't seem to change, and we feel threatened by other people because we have a lack of ability to stand up for ourselves in our own eyes and meet that other person honestly with who we are. And I think that a lot of people, rather than going inside themselves and taking a good long look at who they are and why they are that way, I think that they try and take a shortcut to feel better about themselves, and that is through being really, really nasty, being really nasty to other people. Yeah, putting someone else down.
I think there you go. I think that's a pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, even though one thing I heard about World War II recently is that guy Patton,
the general.
Who stormed through and liberated Berlin with the Russians and stuff, is when they found the Jews in this horrible Nazi concentration camps. And I never knew this till a month or so ago on the radio.
Well, you know, it wasn't just Jews. There were a lot of Jewish people.
Hold on a second.
I just want to be really clear about this.
Okay.
In the Nazi-run concentration camps, there were lots and lots of Jews, but there were also Slavs and Gypsies and homosexuals and socialists and communists and lesbians. And, the list... See, this is where the Germans went wrong. This is where the Nazis went wrong, is they started making a list of all the different kinds of people that you don't have to treat like real people. And they made up a name for them, Untermenschen, subhumans. And what they did is they, because the Germans, the Nazis, the National Socialists, they were all very highly legalistic. You know, they made rules and then they followed them technically. And what they did to all these people that they didn't want to have to be decent to is they made a list. And they made a list of all the different kind of people that they felt that they were entitled to be excruciatingly nasty to. And they made all of these people stateless citizens. They sort of excommunicated them from the German state. They were no longer German citizens. They no longer had German citizenship. They no longer had the rights of German citizens. They no longer had to be treated with the respect and that was appropriate to a citizen with full-blown rights.
Well, plus what they did, too, which is what every society does, is they had enough time to teach their little kids how to hate, because that's where it was at, too.
And I think that you have to teach people how to hate, because I think people don't naturally know how to do that. I think that's a learned behavior.
Yeah, I agree, But at any rate, people like, you'd go, well, when you look at the colors of a rainbow, you don't go, well, my favorite color's blue. They're all beautiful. The reason why, this is a wonderful world is because of cultural, racial diversity. As far as I'm concerned, if it was all like pale, like a pale gray,
sort of a beige.
Even though, like I say, it gives these warmongers something to fight for. In the last umpteen years since Vietnam War, the Korean War, the United States, I don't know what they, they'd be real chagrined, even though I guess there was like they didn't really get involved in Croatia. They did a little bit, I'm stuttering, but I heard something over the radio, and this is the last thing I'll say, and have a nice day, because someone was making a remark over Ferguson that this guy was such a, he's a real big guy. The black guy was like about 300 pounds, 6'4 or something, and this little white cop,
The little white cop
had a gun.
He was also 6'4 himself.
Well, remember the funny saying, God created man, but Samuel S. Colt created them equal. You know, so he made this, like, statement in the news the other day where when I put my hand on this big black guy, it felt like I was like Pee Wee Herman and he was Hulk Hogan or the Incredible Hulk.
I love how you're interpreting what he said. I think he said something more to the point that he said he felt like he was a 5-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And then some guy later goes, "Hey, if we have cops that feel like they're 5-year-olds,
why do they have guns?" Yeah, exactly.
You know, because basically, and then the policeman goes, "Well, if it had been a white person, it would have been the same situation. I would have had to kill him, you know. And did you have any choice?" And he goes, "No, it had to be that way," and that's ridiculous, you know. I mean, even if there was a scuffle, because that's debatable, even if there was a scuffle for the gun inside the cab of this police car, the guy could have called for backup, first of all. It turned into a chase, a cop with a gun chasing a black guy. There's 10 shots fired.
I think there was 12 shots fired with a gun that had 13 bullets.
I only have one chance to kill this, like, charging lion, you know, or else I'm toast, right? He basically pursued this guy, and the guy, because witnesses did say that the guy finally had his hands up, and I can imagine that, well, this cop is shooting at me, he's trying to kill me, so I guess I'm going to charge at him, you know, and then the cop finishes him off, you know. But there's so much, the prosecuting attorney, excuse me for getting hyped up, you know, the prosecuting attorney is in the pocket of the police force. The police force of Ferguson has a habitual record of abusing blacks. You know, it just goes on and on and on, you know, and obviously people shouldn't, like, destroy property and stuff when they riot, but, you know, I don't blame, you know, because, I mean, I can see why black people are just, and myself, I'm white, can you tell?
I'm guessing, caller, that your blood is the same color.
Yeah.
As every other person on the entire planet.
That's a great point, you know, because, you know, except for in this one statement that somebody made on the radio, which I thought was the most ludicrous statement, one of the most ridiculous things I've heard in a long time.
Well, you know what, caller? Hold on, before you say what you want to say. What we have here on KKCR is access to the airwaves of the community. And this is a place, this is a resource, this is an ability
for everyone to say
what they think. And
that's right.
And if you agree with what they say, great. And if you disagree with what they say, great. I'm glad, I'm overjoyed that that somebody had the opportunity to say something that you totally disagree with and that we all had a chance to hear it. You know, let it out. Into the light of day, whatever it is you got to say.
That particular case in Ferguson should have been stepped up to a little higher court and let somebody else. But that's just the way it goes, and we'll see what happens from here. You know, we'll see what happens to racial injustice and inequality. See where it goes from here, right?
Well, what did that caller say?
People are totally fed up. You know, I mean,
what did that caller say last week?
Black people, you know, hey, look, they have as much equal chance and opportunity as any white guy does in America. After all, this is a good old USA, you know?
I don't know that, actually.
And he goes, well, look, there's only 19% black people in the United States, and look, we have a black president. And I go, well, whatever, you know?
How many presidents have there been? 43? 44?
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, so now we got...
So we got one half black, half white.
Yeah, born in Kenya.
So that's like one out of 88 presidents.
Yeah, right, exactly. Good point. You know, so and women were allowed to vote, at a certain time.
For most of the history of this country. And I'm pretty sure that there haven't been any presidents who've been women.
Well, and Hillary's a warmonger, even though she will probably become our next president. But at any rate, you know, it's all bigger than me, you know. I mean, sometimes I want to just curl up in a little ball. But what the caller said, it was that, well, you know, the blacks, they really shouldn't gripe about anything because they have, and he also exclaimed to one caller, you go, you're trying to defend this policeman, you know, in Ferguson for killing this guy, as that, well, have you ever been afraid for your life? You know, because look, that cop was—he was scared for his life. He was dealing with the Incredible Hulk, you know. And I go, and I was going, well, you know, it was a chase. It was a 10 or 12 rounds. You know, he could have got in his car and called for backup. You know, and the way he probably approached that guy is he is a black guy. He'd probably go, hey, using the N word, hey. Hey, Ann, you better get off the effing street or else I'm going to, you know what I mean? I mean, if it was a white guy, went, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, he probably would have used different language if it had been a white guy.
Come on over for coffee, you know what I mean? Because this guy has a reputation just like all those Ferguson cops do.
Well, you know what, caller? I'm certain.
Well, I got to say that
I'm certain that not every cop in Ferguson is a bad cop.
Well, probably you're right about that. You know what I mean? And I think that's a good point because not every cop, although a lot of cops are great cops.
Most cops are great cops.
They do a good job. I'm not bashing police right now. I want to make that perfectly clear, okay? I'm just saying that I'm scratching my head why so many unarmed black people get killed by the police. I don't get it. What's going on, right? I mean,
well, you know,
to the bottom of it.
I think that's actually the best place for the conversation to begin, because we can get all bogged down in the details about this particular incident.
Right.
But what I said earlier, I still stand by. I don't think the big problem with Ferguson is Ferguson. I think that we have a much bigger problem. I don't think it's just this one white cop that killed another black teenager. I don't think that in itself is the problem. I think the problem is
racism. That's what I think. I think the problem is pure racism, and that's the bottom line. Inequality, injustice that goes back to the beginning of time. But and who knows when it will ever end. But this one thing that the caller said, and thanks for being generous on my call, and I gotta go. Thanks for letting me talk. The caller goes, well, look, the black people, they have just as much equal opportunity as whites in America, and in certain ways, we all do. We all have our own conscious mind. We all have our own ability to connect with the universe.
Yeah, but we all start out in families. That are maybe stable and maybe economically comfortable, or maybe not. Maybe we have access to good educational systems, or maybe not.
If you can't pay the bills for water in Detroit, you're shut off, you know, even if you have a little kid, you know. And most of these neighborhoods are probably black, mostly black.
Well, they're mostly poor.
Well, that's
and so
right.
That means,
there you go.
That means people of all different colors, but... So many of poor people in America are black. And why is that?
There you go. Well,
why is that?
You've hit a great point. That's a fantastic point. Good question. You know, especially when the federal government prints their own money. But at any rate...
And you know what, caller? You know what, caller?
I'll let you go because the thing that this one caller said that just chagrined me, and it's his opinion. In a way, he's right. It's an irony, you know, even though, you know, I mean, is he said, well, look, why are the blacks or the people of color, you know, Mexicans, Filipino, Chinese. You might as well say that, too. And it's not
sure, everybody who's not Lily white.
Yeah, right. You know, the Jews, they're kind
they're
of...
not white enough, not, you know? They're just not white enough. White enough.
Yeah, right.
You know, why?
But before them,
100 years ago, the Irish, you know, they just weren't white enough.
Yeah, right. Well, they had green blood. Maybe you're wrong about
that.
No,
their blood is red, just like yours and mine.
Well,
everybody's got the same color cocoa.
I'm just like, you know, but the caller goes, well, you know, the blacks, they you know, look, the whites,
the
They set them free in the Civil War. I mean, they look at what the whites did for the blacks. They set them free in the Civil War.
They cut them loose. And then all of those democratic reforms were stifled, were stillborn, and that was the rise of Jim Crow, which was legalized.
Yeah, you couldn't vote. I mean, he didn't say you couldn't vote in Louisiana, Mississippi until the middle 60s, 1960. You know, you could.
Did you hear last week also that the Presidential Medal of Honor was given to those three young men who went down in Freedom Summer to try and register voters?
Right.
This was the same speech where Obama was decrying the violence in Ferguson upon hearing the result of no indictment.
Yeah, well, there should have been an indictment, and that's all I know. But Abe Lincoln, that's what I learned in school, too. Abe Lincoln, the white president, wanted to free the slaves, so there's this horrible Civil War. But it was really more about maintaining the Union and not separating dividing the country. That's why everybody got, a lot of people got in the fray. You know, I mean, there was some sincere people that, like, yeah, let's save the blacks. But when you look at what happened, I mean, there is still incredible prejudice and segregation and inequality. It wasn't like all of a sudden a magic wand hit America and all of a sudden there was this wonderful, wonderful, happy ending. You know, and to use this example of why there's not prejudice in America, because, well, the whites stood up to the plate back in the 1860s and fought the Civil War to free the slaves, is a ridiculous argument, you know, because even when black GIs went to World War II, you know, when they came back, they came back to white-only bathrooms and restaurants they couldn't go into, you know, and then there was the great Muhammad Ali. A total American hero changed his name to Muhammad. You know, but anyways, I love you and thanks for letting me talk.
Well, thank you so much, caller. Really appreciate you calling in the show. The number here is 826-7771. Call in, say what you'd like to say. We're taking things in a different style, a different pace today. We're opening it up. We're slowing it down. The caller just now had a lot to say, a whole lot to say. And because nobody else called in, I let him go. But I really think that the problem with Ferguson, just to stick on Ferguson for a moment, is not Ferguson. And I think that when we try and figure out what the problem is, or we give a name to that problem, oh, the problem is racism. Oh, the problem is the militarization of police forces in America. Oh, the problem is we live in a violent society. Oh, the problem is we have inequity. Oh, the problem is our social fabric is torn asunder and police don't work for the communities that they serve. You know, I think there's lots of different reasons why things happen. And I think sometimes when we try and argue about what those reasons are or get bogged down in a specific incident like what just happened in Ferguson, that we misunderstand the basic facts. You know, if you're a black kid growing up in America, you are 21 more times likely to get shot and killed by a police officer. Now, why is that? Why is that? Why is that? And maybe why is that isn't even the right question to ask. The right question maybe is, are we okay with that? We'll be right back. Aloha caller. Thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, aloha.
Hey, aloha.
Listen, I just would like to make a suggestion.
Please do.
Hey, there's a guy.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, caller.
I just would like to make a suggestion to both of the talk shows this week that because I've heard a lot of people discussing Ferguson and discussing, you know, other things concerning the Ferguson slaying.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe both of the talk show hosts could put a request out to the community to ask some African-American people to call in to give their opinion or their feelings or their idea of how they see it.
Do you think that white America is content to talk to itself about what is the deal in Ferguson?
Wait a minute. I just want to finish what I was saying and then... Because what I heard on the Tuesday show and what I heard today is a lot of white men calling in. And some of them are in very comfortable houses in Hyena, and some of them, you know, have good jobs, and some of them I know in the community. But, and on the Tuesday show, I was really surprised to hear so much negativity towards African American people. But I didn't hear, and basically it was three white talk show hosts, men, and most of the people that called in were white guys. But I didn't hear anybody from the African-American community call in and say, this is how we feel.
Or maybe this is how I feel. Because it's difficult for any one person to speak for an entire population of people.
And I don't think that some of the people who are giving their opinion about African-American people or what happened in Ferguson, I don't think they really understand the history of what has happened to African-American people from the Middle Passage up until the present time.
Yeah, what continues on through these days.
But the other thing I want to say is that a lot of the people that I heard on Tuesday, you know, they were saying things like, well, the Vietnamese people have come here and done a really good job. But I don't think the people who call in and speak, I don't think they have any relationship to slavery. They don't have any relationship to having lost their... grandfather or their grandmother or their great-grandfather or their great-grandmother or never even knowing who these people were.
Or their entire culture.
Or they never lost their name.
Their language.
Right. So I think that I'd like to have a different perspective on, you know, what's happening in the African-American community but not the white perspective. So
well,
if you could put out, maybe you could put out requests for... Because I know we have people of color in this community and I would enjoy to hear what they have to say.
Well, I think that's an excellent suggestion, caller, and I think that you yourself now are putting that out.
Great. Okay, have a beautiful Thanksgiving.
Thank you, you too.
Aloha.
Aloha. Yeah, is white America content to listen to white America plumb its own soul about what happened in Ferguson? It's a real narrow way to look at the world.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I was at Kent State. I was 9 years old at Kent State. I've seen it. Yeah.
We've got some callers standing by right now. We're going to pick up another. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thank you for tuning in to KKCR and welcome to Out of the Box. Are you there, caller? How about now?
Caller's on the air.
There we go.
Caller?
Yeah, you got me now.
Got you now.
Yep.
Thanks for persevering, caller. What's on your heart?
Oh, you know, the dairy actually is what's on my heart and on my mind right now. They got permits yesterday approved, you know, to go ahead with the dairy over there in Mahalo.
Yeah, I saw that in the news. I was kind of surprised by that. I thought that there was some other additional actual approval process that they had to go through. I didn't realize it was just they're waiting for their permits to build.
Who does approve it? It's Planning Commission or the, you know, who are the approvers, the authorities to allow this thing to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Anyway, yeah. I don't know if you saw, what was it, about 3 days before that, the article in there about the water purity in the wild that runs right by here and right into Mahalapu.
Which waterway is that?
It's the YOP. I believe it's called Waiopili. I'm learning that out of the papers and stuff. I don't
okay,
know,
well.
But it's the one that the Surf Rider Foundation is taking tests on, and the Department of Water, as well as the Hawaiian Dairy Farmers.
Yeah.
But it's funny. The permits got approved, like, right in the middle of a kind of a turmoil. I mean, they came up with just horrible findings in that stream already. Like, it was over 250 times the amount acceptable for even what they call polluted water.
Yeah, the bacterial load was very high. But, you know, the whole thing is very curious to me because that information about water quality and the impact of the dairy in the region there, none of that seems to have any relevancy whatsoever to whether or not they get their construction permits. So there's a disconnect.
Yeah, or they're already connected in some ways. You know, it's weird. This thing, it was a done deal from the beginning. They were, you know, putting a whole bunch of money into this project before there was any kind of permits. And they, yeah, no, somebody must have told them along the way. It's a done deal, and just go ahead and begin the process. We'll permit it as it goes along. But anyway, it's too bad that happened. I don't know what they're going to do about this stream being so bad now, and they're going to only add, I mean,
I'd like to say that
invariably, whatever happens is not going to help.
Yeah, well, adding 900 to 2,000 cattle and a small industrial feedlot rotation is not going to improve the water quality there.
And you know what? There's been no talk about it too much on the radio in the last. I tried to get through last time, whenever it was on Tuesday.
But
nobody mentioned it or anything, so it's just kind of, you know.
Yeah. So, okay.
I don't know. Nobody was paying attention or anything, and it just got slipped through, and whoever decided it, I don't know what responsibility the public they have or accountability for their decisions, but it's like it just happens, and we're stuck with it. Well, anyway, I don't know.
It seems that way, and it's also, just here at the radio station, and the community radio station, it's difficult to get to all of these issues because there's so much going on in the world.
All right, well, that was my thoughts for the day, and I hope you have the best things that you can, and that is the same as
well. Well, thank you, caller. Appreciate that. You have a good Thanksgiving.
Hold on.
We have another caller standing by.
Roger.
Aloha, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hello?
Hello, caller.
You know, when I watched the O.J. Simpson case, the Johnny Cochran, that famous attorney who's now passed away,
made
a real strong point because a witness supposedly heard a black man talking. And he goes, well, how can you tell that he's black by how he speaks?
Well, he obviously sounded black.
But he made a huge point. You know, he spent hours talking about it, and he won his point in the case because even though that lady, bless her heart, you know, because I thought the same thing on Tuesday's show last week, is that here's a bunch of white people, and I'm a white guy too, like, we're talking about something that's a black issue. Why aren't black people calling, even though black people in Kauai are a minority? I don't know how, you know, but and I don't know how many people are listening right now. You know, but it's not just about, it's about the color of your blood, like you say. It's about
the human compassion. It's not just, this isn't about racism per se.
Well, it is about racism, but it's about a lot of other stuff too.
There you go. Yeah, it is. It's about a lot of other stuff. It's also about recruitment. Who's recruiting? How are policemen getting recruited? Carlos made a point on the Tuesday show, and good point, Carlos, that there's a clause in the recruitment that if you're too smart, you can't become a cop in certain places. And you go, what? You know, I mean, police need to be better trained.
You know, I don't know if I agree with that better training is somehow going to end all of these issues, because a lot of what the cops do is what they're trained to do.
Well, they're trained to kill, like, too quickly, because obviously happens in this last 6 months or a year. How many cases have there been? There's been, like, seems like, I don't know how many there's been. Unarmed, it doesn't matter if you're black or white. There's this one skinny 130-pound white guy in a Denver jail, a homeless white person, who wanted to pick a. He was in custody. He had handcuffs. He was already handcuffed. He was getting booked. He had taken his shoes off, and when he was going to be taken into the jail and the facility, you know, he went to say, "Oh, I want to get my shoes." And when he went, you know, about four or five police tackled him, and one of the police weighed about 250 pounds. He tasered the guy, you know, and he had a heart attack, and he died, you know, and then their family suing the Denver Police Department. You know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And if I was a policeman, you know, I'd want to step it up and go, hey, look, I mean, these things, we've got to stop this. We've got to be a little more careful. We have a dangerous job. You know, I mean, if some of us die in the line of duty, that's what's going to have to happen, you know, because we can't just go off, you know, all of a sudden, just the minute somebody twitches, to blow the person away, and all of a sudden that you realize he's reaching for his wallet, you know, his ID, or he's got a toy gun at Kmart, a BB gun he picked up off the counter. Anyways, bye.
That's Danny, folks. Danny's got a lot to say. How about you? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? 826-7771. A lot of things going on in the world. Some of them quite wonderful. Some of them kind of shocking. Some of them far away, and some of them right here on Kauai'i. You got to speak your mind on this Thanksgiving Day? Give us a call into the station, 826-7771. We got a caller called in just now, standing by. Going to go to the phones.
Go.
Aloha, caller. Welcome to KKCR.
To go or no go?
You're good. You're live on the air.
Okay. All I wanted to say was that, you know, I don't care if you're black or white or purple. When the police tell you to do something, you have to do it. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, they are what we call the law.
Well, they're not, actually.
Well, yes, they are, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, then you and I have a difference of opinion, and I'm going to respectfully listen to what you have to say.
Okay, they are the representatives of our society. And they may have biases or whatever, and I'm not going to dispute that.
No, they're human, just like you and me.
Sure. But, you know, if a cop comes and pulls you over, you have to do what they say. Otherwise, he's going to feel threatened, and, you know, violence could happen. Because, as I said, they are the law of, or the arm of the law, excuse me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and you know,
they're not the brain of the law. They're the arm of the law.
No. They are the arm. They are the guy on the street, and they think when they pull you over, they don't know what's going on with you. So give them a break. You know, I mean, there are some cowboys that, you know, are cops, but I think that for the most part, they're trying to do their job. They were trained. If they need different training, then so be it. But they're trained with what knowledge we have chosen to instill on them, if you understand what I'm saying.
I think so. Maybe you could explain a little better what you mean.
Well, these are the laws, and this is what we're going to do. And I have to say, honestly, I would not ever want to be a police officer.
Yeah, me either. I think it's a very, very tough job, and I think that you get put into difficult situations where easy resolutions are not, you know, they don't present themselves.
Well, I mean, think about it. If you were a cop and you pulled me over, you have no idea when you walk up to me in my car or wherever what the heck I'm going to do. You have no idea. It could be, you know, amicable, or it could be hostile. You just don't know.
Right. And then the flip side goes the same as well. Let's say you're driving down the street. Let's say you're a black person driving down the street, and a cop pulls you over. And let's say in your town in the last year, cops have pulled over black people and killed half a dozen of them for no reason that anyone can really understand. What would you be thinking as the police officer came up to your car when you hadn't been driving in excess of the speed limit? All your blinkers worked as far as you know. What's kind of going through, what things might be going through your head?
Well, I understand what you're asking me. Let me just say this about that. If I were a black person, which I am not, I am a senior citizen, white, you know, WASP, I can understand where they might be not comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, what if your experience with police officers is that they terrorize and harass your community? You wouldn't necessarily think of them of, oh, here comes Officer Friendly. I wonder, maybe he wants to help me somehow.
I understand that, and I agree. But you have to understand, if you think about it, you'll have to agree that it's a result of generation after generation. I mean, let's be honest. When black people were slaves, they were not people.
I think they were three-fifths of people.
They were cows. They were material. They were donkeys.
Well, you know what? Let me just be really careful right now, and let me say that that's what white slave owners, and that's what the legal system in America said. I don't think that black people were ever not people.
No. I'm not saying that they weren't. I'm saying that's what was the reality of our society.
That's a social construction. That's a social reality.
Yes, absolutely. But that whole mindset of black people are just not the same as us, that has been passed down from generation to generation. And we all know that. There's no disputing that.
Well, some people claim that America is a post-racial society, that all of that stuff is history, and we worked it all out, and we sang kumbaya, and everything's all groovy, and so what's the problem?
No.
Some people seem to really feel that way. I don't know why.
They do, but they're deluding themselves, because that's not the reality. And I understand if I were black, I would be pretty hostile. If you went to a party and you knew that everybody there didn't like you and wanted you to go away, how would you act? Would you be like, hey, hey, what's going on, buddy? No, not at all. That's not how humans react to the reality that they're hated. And I think that, you know, that's become, I don't want to say instilled, but, you know, it's a mindset for the black people that, you know, the honkies don't like us. And also, the problem also
I haven't heard anybody say honky in quite a while.
Well, you know, I'm older, so I'm a honky and not a redneck.
Not a cracker?
No.
Okay.
Not even close. But,
Oh, someone here shouting Howley from the background.
Howley?
Yeah, that was someone adding that into the mix here.
Okay. Well, I am a Howley. You know, I was born in 1950, and I grew up with a father that hated black people.
Why was that? Do you know?
I don't.
And how much of that do you feel that you inherited, and how much of that inheritance do you feel you examined and set aside?
All of it.
Why did you make that choice?
Because I just decided that it wasn't fair and it wasn't right.
And what made that little light bulb go on in your head?
Well, it just seemed to me that, yes, black people are now, we're generally speaking at this point, a subculture. I mean, they have their own culture, they have their own swag, they have their own look, and I'm not going to dispute that, and I don't think you can either, but that's okay, you know, because many other cultures have a subculture.
Like everyone does.
You know, go there, it's okay. But once you get past that, I don't know. I mean, it just, to me, it just became like, why do I have to hate these people?
And you couldn't come up with any good reasons?
No, of course not. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
They were hostile often when I was a youth.
And where were you a kid growing up?
In California.
Mm.
But back to the subject. excuse me. I just realized at some point that okay, I think I understand why they act the way they do. We're generally speaking now. We're not specific, okay?
Yeah, well, it's hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes, especially when you don't have any of their life experiences.
I understand that. No. That was my epiphany when I realized that, look, you know, if I went to a party and everybody there hated me and I knew it, I would not be a happy camper. I wouldn't be nice to anybody. So that's all I'm trying to say, and I won't take any more time because I know you guys got probably other callers, but this whole Ferguson thing, I'm not supporting the police officer at all. Trust me, I'm not. But as I said before, if you are encountered by a police officer, black, white, purple, I don't care.
Well, it's a tricky situation because that person has a gun and is authorized and is socially authorized to use that killing force should they so feel necessary. So it's not a meeting of equals, and it's a highly fraught situation that over and over and over again is blowing up. And
yeah, I understand that.
We can talk about racism and stuff, but
if you've ever been stopped, excuse me for interrupting, when they walk up to your driver's door window, they unsnap their gun. You know, the little strap that holds it in their holster. They unstrap it because they don't have a clue who they're walking up to. And I understand that, and I accept that. And it's not a fun job. I would never want to do it. But this whole thing in Ferguson, I mean, let's all step back and take a look at reality. I mean, he was a king or whatever, a huge, strong person. And, you know, I've seen the film on television about him strong on some poor little, you know, store owner that's trying to stop him from steal the cigarillos or whatever it was.
Which is totally irrelevant to the situation with the police officer who had no knowledge of that incident.
I understand that he didn't.
Yeah, so that's totally irrelevant.
Okay, but I'm trying to establish the fact that, you know, people are trying to say this nice little kid. Well, he was not a nice little kid.
Well, you know what? You know what, caller? I want to go back to something earlier, and that is the problem with Ferguson is not Ferguson, and the problem with this incident is not this incident. If it were just this incident, if this were the only time this ever happened, then we could, you know, really look into our navel gaze about it, what the deal is. But the fact is you have a gross preponderance of statistical evidence that shows that this is not an exceptional situation, that this is not a unique event, that this is not something that happens in a vacuum. This is something that happens systematically to black people in America.
Absolutely.
Black people are 21 times more likely to get shot and killed by cops than white people. And some people will say, well, why is that? And the answer, simple answer, is racism. But I think a better question is, are we okay with that? We're gonna have to.
I don't think so either.
We're gonna have to do a little station business here. We're gonna have to thank some of our underwriters and such. So we'll be back in just a minute. And you're listening to Out of the Box on KKCR, Kauai's community radio station, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and this show is brought to you in part by these fine underwriters.
Biodiversity announcing and sustainable farming practices,
Saturday,
such as community gardens,
from
food
4
forest.
To 8 p.m. at the Stone Building, announcing Kilauea Art Night, Saturday, November 29th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Stone Building in Kilauea, featuring over 40 local artisans with jewelry, original art, pottery, apparel, photography, henna tattoos, and gifts for the holidays. Live music, belly dancers, and keiki fire spinners, plus local food trucks, sweet and savory pies, and ice cream. That's Saturday, November 29th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Stone Building in Kilauea.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com. Waipa Foundation presents the 5th Annual Kalo Festival, Sunday, December 7th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Waipa, just past Hanalei. A celebration of everything kalo for the whole family. Live music and hula, local artisans, fresh food with kalo, poi pounding, hands-on crafts, and the Queen's Challenge Kahlo Contest. A water slide for the keiki, too. Information about pre-festival workshops, recipes, and art contests online at waipafoundation.org or by calling 826-9969. That's the Kahlo Festival, Sunday, December 7th. Entry fees support the nonprofit Waipa Foundation.
Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. I'm Jonathan Jay. This is Out of the Box. We're way out of the box today on Thanksgiving 2014. People are calling in, talking about whatever they want to, and we're kind of letting it just go freestyle today. The number is 826-7771, and if you'd like to call, please do. If you hear something that you agree with, great. If you hear something that you'd like to contest, that is completely okay, because we should be able to listen to each other, especially when we disagree. Aloha caller, you're on the air.
You know, I'm taking a lot of air time, so if someone else calls, just cut me off. Drop
okay.
Me, all right?
I'll just punch you right off. How's that?
No problem.
I wish everybody would have the time and opportunity to listen to Democracy Now! Every day. Because it's just like, I mean, even it's hard to listen to the sad truth of things. I mean, you can't expect to get the good news on CNN or Fox or NBC, you know, unless you want to totally just tune out and not listen to the news, which I know some people would prefer not to, right?
Well, it seems to me, and I'll just, this is my own personal perspective on this, but to my way of thinking, with mainstream media, with the news, the more you watch, the less you know.
Oh, you like that. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's why Democracy Now!
Somebody like that.
Basically, Democracy Now!, and I appreciate KKCR for being able to allow it, to give it to the community, because it's such an important news program. But, you know, besides, you know, I know there's a lot to be thankful for. I'm not forgetting that, you know, today, like I do every day. Just because it's Thanksgiving doesn't mean I'm not thankful tomorrow, you know, and I count my blessings. I'm really fortunate. And one of the things I'm very fortunate about is that I'm a nice person. I don't have to steal. I don't have to assault people. I'm not a murderer. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, the guy was talking about when the cop comes up to your door, he doesn't know who's on the other side of the window when he pulls you over for a speeding ticket. You know, it would be nice if the police kind of had this, like, and maybe it's a fairy tale for them too, like racial justice, like social justice. Maybe that's a pipe dream. Maybe it's a pipe dream that the police could kind of like trust the public more and go, wow, hey, how you doing? You know, instead of going, wow, every car I pull over is a potential guy's got a concealed weapon or something, you know, and then that comes to a good point of like how many guns are there in this world, you know, and then there's the old argument, well, if the good guys don't have guns, then only the bad guys will, you know? And the argument goes back and forth, where you just go, God, will there ever be, like, peace? You know, not just around the world, but in our own neighborhoods, you know? I mean, but I just hope that someday there will be. I hope that violence, and I'm talking about violence including, you know, it's so sad in the ghetto, blacks killing blacks. I mean, that's sad. It's so sad, you know. I mean, and there's no excuse for it. you know, either. I mean, murder's murder, whatever it is, you know. But the other side of the judicial system that makes you get arrested in the first place is the incarceration aspect. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening to every word you say, Colin.
It's on the other end, because a society needs to be judged on how we treat criminals.
Well, not criminals per se, but how a society. I believe a society should be judged by how it treats the least among us, those who are least able to speak for themselves or least able to articulate their place,
or in solitary confinement.
Exactly,
because this very wise fellow on Democracy Now, he was talking about, you know, the jail system in the United States is so horrible. I mean, it's just like they were talking about Florida state prison, where the standard protocol, and the guards let him do this, is you're gang raped the minute you get in. And that's just standard procedure, you know. And then all this solitary confinement, which we're just starting to be aware of, you know, where you this inhumane treatment of people in prisons is something that a good society should be really concerned about. I mean,
well, no, I would say a good society should eliminate that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the quote the guy gives, he goes, if there's no mercy, there's no justice. And obviously there's psychopaths. There's people that are totally like, you know, I don't believe in capital punishment, but there's people that don't belong out on the streets, obviously. You know what I mean? But the system is so, you know, money. First of all, if you get arrested or something, how much money do you have for a good lawyer? You know, I mean, that, it's like fighting the GMOs. They have a bottomless pit of money, you know, so they can hang things up in court forever.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of room for improvement.
Well, there you go. You know, and also, like, I'll say one last thing, you know, and I feel sorry for President Obama, because he's a president he only has, what, a year left or two? I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah, and he's going to have fun times with the Republican Senate and Congress.
Well, I think he's going to have bad memories of his tenure as president, because I don't think he's really done a whole lot. Or it certainly hasn't kept a lot of his promises. You know, but one thing I heard, and it's, he should be ashamed for this, because, you know, he's pardoned more turkeys, presidential turkeys, than criminals. You know, I mean, people, you know, like, you know.
Well, if we had a perfect system where no mistakes were ever made,
right,
then you wouldn't need to pardon anyone ever.
Well, money's a huge problem besides racial and spiritual and religious bigotry. It's the haves and have-nots, because if everybody had enough money, you know, and stuff, that would cut out an awful lot of thievery. Except for the people, the Wall Street criminals that were too big to jail. And what are you going to do? Go put a handcuffs on Wall Street? You know.
Well, because maybe we need to build bigger jails for them if they're too big to get into the jails that are presently available for them.
Well, listen, like I said, I'll leave it at this. You know, sorry, I hope I'm not being negative.
No, that's okay, caller. today on this Thanksgiving Day, you got some pain in your heart. You want to let it out. You think you might feel a little better. Call into the station, 826-7771. Doesn't have to be negative. If you want to sing about something, if there's some sweet, beautiful ray of sunshine, or some experience you had that was incredible and uplifting and gave you a hint of what the world might be like if we were all the kind of people we wish we were, call in, 826-7771. Going to go to a little bit of music break here, do some audio collage, give you a chance to think about something that you're thankful for today on Thanksgiving. 626-7771. Out of the box on KKCR. You want to get into the mix? Give us a call. 826-7771.
Becca Smith, and I'm Brett Rouse, and we have Rhett in tonight on the drums, which is a real pleasure. We love playing with Rhett, North Shore, excellent drummer. And it's late, and we're happy to be stepping in for the Commodore, and we love his show, and we're supporting the fun drive by playing a majority of our new album, which is being recorded right now. So we're going to play all originals tonight. How's that sound?
Yay!
Woo. All right.
Our studio audience is going wild.
It's true. I can see them jiggling about at this late hour. So we're going to start off with one called Stronger. This is an original from Becca. And it's fun. It's a little warm-up song for the rest of the night.
Thank you. up the sexy groove, put me in the mood. I'm on my way, yeah. Riding down as fast as I can. Gotta get to that magical land. Wherever thing is how I want.
Aloha caller, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
You are on the air, caller. Welcome welcome to Out of the Box. We're way out of the box today.
All right. And with all the scatological music you are playing, I suppose nobody is listening anyway.
Oh, no, I'm sure that's not true. In fact, there's you.
Don't interrupt me. Anyway, I feel emboldened to talk about the sadness of it all. The onslaught of billionaires to our island, all of whom are bringing with them their prowess and expertise to do something on this island. They have been imminently successful all over the world, and now they're focusing their attention on our little island. And they can't restrain themselves to do stuff over here, like build dairies or hotels, giant developments on before untouched land, and they are well known worldwide all over the place. And I'm wondering why they can't just be here without having to exercise their expertise and their power to change things on this island. Why don't they build a hotel in Manhattan instead of on Kauai? Mr. Allison set a bad precedent. He bought the whole island of Lanai. Now all the other guys want to have pieces of Kauai, Maui, and other places, and it is sad that they can't just enjoy the island without having to engage in all kinds of detrimental activity that screws up our island even more.
Well, isn't that true for all of us?
It is true for you, perhaps. It's not true for me.
Explain why.
Explain why. I do as little as possible. I do not want to change the island. I find it perfect the way it is, and I don't want to build any hotels and build 350 mansions along the side of the road and take over private land. And we have an ordinance. We used to have an ordinance that prohibited, actually, to have exclusive properties on the island. There are bad precedents in Princeville, a couple of gated communities.
Sure, the whole rage against the gated community.
The gated community is not such a good idea, you know? It takes...
Well, it depends on what side of the gate you're on, yeah?
The land. It certainly does, but it is, if you don't let people in, then you won't let people through either, like fishermen and people who want to go to the beach and all this kind of stuff. You'll have to climb over rocks in order to get there where you previously could drive, for example. You know, apparently these people don't think that the island is wonderful and perfect the way it is. They need to change it rather than just building their own houses and palaces and putting guards around them with Kalashnikovs and Uzis. They need to make fences, electronic surveillance, because they don't trust the rest of the population of the island, or themselves, or whoever else might come. And so I'm saddened by this influx. One of the reasons that I think also it's sad is that the county council for a long time refused to pave any extra roads for us. All the wonderful network of cane roads that we have could easily be paved and made available for general track and alleviate the traffic from the road. And they were afraid to do that because they said it would engender uncontrolled development. Now, I think the billionaires coming over here really represent uncontrolled development because they do whatever they want. They have companies that have more employees than the whole population of this island. They have more lawyers than the population of the island, some of them.
Well, and just to pick a specific example, Mr. Zuckerberg, who recently, I think he spent about 120 or 130 of his millions of his dollars, only a small, small percentage of his net worth. He has a net worth greater than the entire island. He could buy Kauai twice.
Yeah, wonderful. But so far we haven't heard of him making any plans to build 350 mansions in secluded areas that are accessible to us now and should not be accessible to us in the future.
Well, let me ask you this, caller, because, you know, to kind of flip your premise on its head, why shouldn't ultra-wealthy people be able to do whatever they want to with their money?
That is, they can do whatever they want to with their money, of course. What saddens me, as talking about sadness, as I did before, is that they cannot restrain themselves from their large schemes on such a pristine and still beautiful island. And instead of just being happy to be here, bring with them the prowess of the big world to bulldoze landmarks and change topography and roll the pohakus any which way and have absolutely, since they haven't been exposed to any of this stuff, have any knowledge of what the meaning is of a place like this, you know?
Sure.
The meaning on the mainland has long died. The Indians are dying faster than you can say hello. The Hawaiians refuse to die. And I think something should be preserved for them rather than just have some person with unpronounceable name from some faraway place buying 8,000 acres to develop it without any historical background of what he is doing, really. And that's what saddens me.
So,
I know
I'm curious.
To ride both sides of the fence. I don't want to argue with you anymore because whatever somebody says, all your listeners are always being confronted by you changing the sides of the fence that you're on. And it's totally a rubberized experience to talk to you any further. And if you don't accept my sadness, then there's no reason to talk to you anymore. Aloha.
Aloha, and I accept your sadness.
Let's all be sad.
I don't think that we all have to be sad, but I think that when we are sad, we should feel it. I don't think that we should run away from how we feel about stuff. That leads to a hollowness, an emptiness, a place of unfeeling, which I think is probably worse than any kind of feeling you could ever have. 826-7771 is the open phone lines if you want to call in and share what it is that's on your heart. Out of the box. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
I got the wrong lady. Hold on, hold on.
Go ahead, caller. We've got you live on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Aloha, JJ. This is Yemaya calling.
Aloha, Yemaya.
I am driving with a car full of food on my way to celebrate. And I just wanted to thank the last caller for the way he expressed himself, the non-reactivity to your poking, and I just was really touched by his expression of what's happening on Kauai, and I wanted to thank him and big mahalo. I love your community. Aloha. Have a beautiful day.
Aloha. And we've got another caller. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Are you having any fun today?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Oh, sorry about that. We're moving a bunch of chairs over here. We just got done having a great big feed down at Anini Beach today.
Tell me about it.
100 people, nice tent, chairs, tables, the whole turkey feed dressing right down to the cranberry sauce. Everybody at Anini Beach came down and had a great turkey dinner today.
That sounds fantastic.
So I am just grateful that I live in a place that I'm allowed to give back to my community in such a joyous and feeding fashion. So I'd like to give a big shout out to my good friend John Burkhouse, who is a force for good on this island and a very, very good friend. So if I can do anything else today, I would like to say that I'm very thankful for the joyous friends and the great company I've shared today.
That's awesome to hear. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I know everybody was, you know, sort of having this little downer thing. I wanted to say this is a great place to be, a great place to live, and a great place to help out.
Well, thanks for calling in and sharing your perspective and sending your shout out.
Thank you very much. You have a beautiful day.
And we've got more callers calling in and standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Well, I resent the downer feeling. I was just talking about what's going on in the news. I'm grateful for a lot of stuff.
Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with being down, and there's nothing wrong with being thankful.
I'm really grateful and thankful. I want everybody to feel grateful. When Thanksgiving, I think of all the poor people that can't spend their Thanksgiving with their family and friends because they're unjustly incarcerated or they're off to war, and I'm shouting out my love for all these people. And all the policemen, too, that have to be on the beat, that would rather be at home with their families. Everybody, I mean, it's a joy, I mean, joy to the world, you know. And the first step is to, you know, is to try to make it better by being a good person, you know. And everybody's responsible for that, you know. Every person, mostly myself, I have to become a better person, you know, and everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You've got it tuned in to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. This is Out of the Box. It's a call-in show. We're doing audio collage today, inviting people to call in and add their voice and their feelings into the mix. There's nothing good, there's nothing bad, there's just what you feel and what you want to share. 826-7771. Add your voice into the mix.
Good boy.
are called upon to be hurt if we are fortunate. We know full well that our planet and all its inhabitants are but a small part of this immense universe that surrounds us, and it is with humility and hope that we take this step.
Track me.
listening to Way, Way, Way Out of the Box here on KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. The number, if you want to call in, is 826-7771. People calling in with all different kinds of things they want to talk about, all different kinds of feelings they want to share, all different kind of perspectives they want to get out into the world. And one of the things we can do at Community Radio is provide a platform for that. So if you got something that you want to say, you got some shout-outs you want to send, got something you want to get off your chest, you got some good feeling inside your heart you want to share, 826-7771. Phone lines are open right now. Call in and get into the mix. Caller, thanks for calling in 826-7771 to KKCR Out of the Box. You are on the air. Thanksgiving come from? What is the story behind the day this is for some people? What are you feeling thankful about? How did you first understand what thankfulness was? What are you doing on this day? Give us a call, 826-7771.
Delft disputes zijn goed om te rijden aan boord van de Voyager. En hoop dat deze boodschap als ook...
En good luck van dit zoon naar die van. Salona member the committee on outer space. And we believe, say, this committee...
Aloha caller, you're on the air.
You know, that's nice. I know who that was who's feeding people for free down there at Anini, and kudos to him and his friend John, who do a lot of work in the community that feeds the hungry. But as Carlos pointed out last week, it's against the law to feed the poor people, to give out free food in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Well, it's not just Fort Lauderdale. It's it's almost two dozen cities across America.
So, yeah, so when that guy's giving thanks for feeding 100 people down in Nini, make sure he's thankful, because if he was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, he'd be arrested right now. Okay? Thank you.
Well, you know what? I think that this island of Kauai has a social fabric that is still intact. And I think that laws like what that last caller was talking about, where it's actually on the books that it's against the law to feed people who can't afford to buy food, that's just evidence of social decay. And I'm thankful that we don't have that here on Kauai.
Wanted to mention that even on the enlightened island of Kauai, what we did down at Anini Park is an arrestable offense on Kauai.
In what way?
Bringing meals to anyone in a county park. That's the new law. It's been passed this year. Go ahead and take a look at it.
Really?
What we did today, we faced arrest for today, but unfortunately, we got the out. If you want to have a bonfire, you keep your hot dogs around, right? If you want to feed, you feed family. We didn't feed homeless. We didn't feed strangers. Today at Anini Beach, we fed family.
And if we're all Ohana.
And we had a darn fine family meal.
Amen to that, brother.
All right. Have a beautiful night.
Aloha.
And enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Hey, thank you very much. And likewise to you, listener. We got another caller. Calling in? No? Well, then I will wrap it up. This is another one of those experiments in audio, experiments in radio. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening along or calling in if you did and sharing what was on your heart, what was on your mind, your take on things. If we can't talk about stuff, there's nothing left to talk about.